Fundamentals. There are some fundamentals to religion, and in the first song you talked about beliefs. Religion has always been, for human beings, since religions were first conceived, the idea of figuring out what you believe, and then through your life, learning how to be faithful. And holding both of those in tension, learning and growing. Christianity started out as a movement, following this heroic, prophetic young Jew into some new way of justice and relationships between human beings. Then, as I talked about last week, in 327 AD, it became an institution codified by the Nicene Creed that told all Christians what they would believe, how they would believe it, and oh, the rest of us who didn't quite step in line to that became the movement. And since then, Unitarians and Universalists have been movements. And at certain points in history, different centuries, different countries in Europe, they were institutionalized, like in Transylvania, where Unitarians became the national religion. And then there was the Scottish Unitarians, and then there were the American Unitarians, and until 1961, we were sort of a ragtag set of institutions, being different in lots of different places. Until 1961, when the American Unitarian Society Association and the Universalist Churches of America joined together to form the now international institution of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations. We've always needed institutions and movements throughout history. I like to think of this as a moment I experienced on a high ropes course. Have any of you done a high ropes course? They're all pretty similar, and this one was at Hurricane Island Outward Bound School, and had to climb up a ladder that was about as high as that. And then there was a pipe that went from one platform to another platform, not quite this wide, shorter. And when you got to the top of the platform, you had to hold, there was a little rope, a knotted rope, that you could hold on to as you sort of inched your way across this very narrow pipe, right? But you couldn't hold on and still make it to the platform. So at some point, everyone who crossed that pipe had to let go. And I want to stand here and tell you that it not only took me 20 minutes to climb the ladder, because I have this fear of heights, I stood there holding onto that rope until every other member of the course was screaming and yelling at me, "Just let go, Elaine!" And I'm like, "No, no, I don't believe I'll make it there." Now, mind you, we're all tied in, we're belayed. There's no way we can fall. There's a safety net. But that fear of needing something to hold on to step into change, to cross a chasm of the unknown. Have any of you ever felt that? It's terrifying. And it goes beyond any logic or reason or common sense. So I just had to close my eyes, let go, and pray that I would reach the platform. I'm here, so obviously I did. But I think that's a wonderful metaphor. Movements are that platform on the other side. Institutions are the platform that we stand on securely until, for some reason, we are called to move across that pipe to something new. And we need something to hold on to. Something that, whether in reality or not, gives us a sense of safety until we can get that place on the other side. But the reality is, you can never get there until you let go. And that's the tension between movements and institutions. Has been there since the beginning of time. Because society needs stability. We need something to hold on to. That's why we create laws, cultural norms, from everything from how you hold your fork to how you walk, to how you speak, to how you treat elders, to how you govern and how you grow food, how you share shelter, all those things. They sort of fall into some categories of family and kinship, how families will be formed and how you treat relatives, what you do with elders, what you do with youth. And then there's education, economics, criminal justice, politics. We need stable institutions so that we have something to count on. And there's also this regulatory pattern that happens that we have to test those norms, test those rules, test those structures to make sure that they remain relevant. Because institutions believe that they go on and on and on and on into perpetuity. Truth stays stable for all times. And movements say, no, something better is possible. We can change this. There's something more important to think about. And it's not the same time as it was that those institutions were created. So we've always had courageous individuals who would rabble-rouse, engage in individual acts of resistance, breaking rules, not paying taxes, running away, avoiding military service, defying tribal orders, unlocking pipelines. We have had movements that have addressed everything from gender issues to feminism to anti-colonialism, women's rights, anti-racism. They are historic. And they aren't always about what one group believes is right or not. Look at the revolution in Iran. Look at the fundamentalist movements. Look at different movements throughout history that try to constrict rather than expand because the fear gets too great. Since 1961, we have had stable institutionalism and Unitarian Universalism. We have our General Assembly every year where members of churches join together and look at the different ways that we can change or stay the same. We have always two mics, the pros and the cons, and the lines form and the speeches go on and on. But it's our democracy at work. Everyone confronting what is with what is possible. Some people holding on as tightly as they can to what is. Others trying to make room for something new. We create statements of conscience. We have all these rules and regulations about how we make changes. And we do make changes. But we remain grounded in our seven principles and our purposes. And actually, there's a movement right now to add an eighth principle. It was Theodore Parker, who was a Unitarian minister, filled the sanctuaries of Boston with thousands of people, Sunday after Sunday, who would listen to him preach for hours, hours and hours. And in 1841, he preached a sermon, and it was called The Transient and the Permanent in Christianity. And this has become a foundational sermon in our movement. Because he talked about, and it was right then that we were trying to identify, separate ourselves from Christianity and really move away from the congregational perspective of Christianity and really amplify and decide what Jesus meant to us as Unitarians if he was not part of a Trinity and he wasn't a divine being. Parker claimed that the essence of Christianity could be found in what Jesus taught about love, but not about his personhood, not in the debate about his divinity or his humanity. He said, Christianity is a simple thing, very simple. It is absolute. It is purely morality. Absolute about the love of man, the love of God, acting without any hindrance. It is all about love. The only form it demands is doing the best thing in the best way with the highest motives. While churches exist to cultivate the heart, mind, and conscience, they also should be the means of reforming the world. That has stood the test of time, and it's always, well, since 1841, it's been foundational to the Unitarian Universalist belief about itself, reason and love, looking at the relevance of our faith in the current times, holding ourselves accountable to that foundational, permanent belief that was at the foundation of both Unitarians and Universalists before they merged. Love is the doctrine of this church. That is said at almost every Unitarian Universalist church in some shape or form every Sunday. That is the permanent. The transient is what is relative to us in our times. Movements grow out of deep dissatisfaction with the world the way it is. Institutions are forever trying to give us something to hold on to so that we can make that leap into what is no longer familiar, that is transformational for human beings. Institutions assume that the conditions that inspired their creation will remain the same, and movements keep saying, no, no, something better is possible. Just a few weeks ago, we had that institutional gathering of the most economically and politically elite in the world joining together in Davos, where amidst the beauty of the Swiss Alps, these global economic leaders gather to discuss innovative collective solutions to all the world's greatest problems. Now, there are many who believe they have no interest in transformation, that they are only there to shore up their own personal wealth and power. They have no interest in solving the world's problems. So because of that, in 2002, a movement was started in Brazil. And this was called the World Social Forum, in opposition to the World Economic Forum. And this was a gathering of indigenous tribal people, all of the NGOs of the world. I think the first one had about 8,000 people. This year they expect 50,000 to come to Brazil. They are all of the people who are looking for that relativity, that understanding of what the world needs now, from climate change to political justice to social justice to economic justice, looking at the needs of all the world's marginalized to be part of that conversation. I think the great moment will be when the World Service or Social Forum and the World Economic Forum actually meet together, where they actually come together to put their own perspectives together and together have a conversation that perhaps can actually address the problems that this globe needs them to. People worry that movements create disorder, and they do. But it's not because of their principles or the actions they take. I think it's because of human resistance to change and human fear of change. So here comes the movement, change, change, change. And here's the institution trying to hold on. And there are people in the middle somewhere on that pipe trying to have something to hold on to. The chaos is not created by the movement or solved by the institution. It's the people. It's the people who decide order out of chaos. But deciding what they will hold on to, what they will let go of, The movements and the institutions will always be there. It's us, the people in the middle, that decide how to resolve the conflicts, how to decide what is essential to hold on to, and what is it that we do to move forward. You can see it in our political system right now. Memos, right? Trying to decide what is essential to the strength and the integrity of our governance. Who decides? How do we decide? In the midst of deciding, it's pretty much chaos, right? Sometimes we need both institutions and movements. We need political parties. We need constant analysis of institutions. We need robust populist movements to try and make sense of our world. The important thing is they need to talk with one another. We need those durable institutions. We need progressive movements. Honestly, it's really important that we all have some access to both, so that we as individuals are constantly looking at what is it we believe and are we being faithful. Yesterday, a report came out from a commission that was charged last spring. How many of you remember the sort of chaos that happened in the Unitarian Universalist Association, where our religious professional of colors confronted the institution with some of the discrimination and the centering of whiteness that caused people of color to lose jobs and to not be hired for higher positions. So it started a whole investigation of how the Unitarian Universalist lives out those principles of respecting the dignity and worth of every person, using the democratic process in our institutions. And this commission came to its results, and they printed their first report yesterday, and I'm going to see if I can find that quote here. Theologically, Unitarian Universalists are in a uniquely positioned place to answer the call among us for a new kind of faith which can serve the needs of our communities, including advocacy and support for those most targeted by politics of hate. Yet the systemic racism, patriarchy, and other forms of oppression that live among us make impossible for us to answer that call without new commitments, accountability, and a vision for change. We exist in a dominant culture historically that continues to marginalize and unleash harm upon people of color who come into our institutions. Religious professionals and volunteer leaders of color are not able to share their gifts without fear of retaliation, nor live out the fullness of their vocations and calling. We need their prospective talents and leadership if we are ever to live up to the principles of our faith.
Amen.
You can go online and read that, and they lay out a whole bunch of things that they're asking every congregation to look at and to participate in. Institutions assume that the conditions that inspired their creation remain the same in perpetuity. Movements try to demonstrate that conditions have changed, necessitating the need for reform. Those of us who believe in the permanent, transformative power of love are at the core of Unitarian Universalism. There are transient things in our world and in our culture that must be addressed if we are going to strengthen that transformative power of love. No wonder organized religion is so difficult. Congregations create sanctuaries where people nurture and inspire each other with results that no one can predict. The stability of a religious institution is a necessary precondition to the instability of religious transformation. We need to balance both sides, and this is the paradox: the transforming power of religion and the stabilizing power of organization makes leading congregations a unique challenge. You get to decide how we will rise to meet that challenge, or continue to hold on to the rope and never make it to the platform of possibility that sits at the other side. May we be wise. May we be courageous. May we step up to what is being asked of us, acknowledging there is fear, terror, and discomfort in whatever we choose to do. I know and trust our faith, our principles, and our membership to do what is best for all. So may it be. Amen, and blessed be.